Broadcasting live from beautiful, historic Marion, Ohio, it's Now with Scott Spears. Call Scott live on the air anytime at 740-383-9944. No topic is too big or too small. I'm your announcer, the man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. And now, here's your host, Scott Spears.
Thank you, man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. Scott Spears back with you here on this Wednesday, August the 12th, 2026. 12 and a half minutes past the hour, and we got a little more time this hour to discuss this issue. Now, I want to kick it off. We got a statement this morning from 5th Ward City Councilman Thad Smith in regard to what happened during Monday night's vote on the Flock cameras. Here's what he said. Regarding my statements during the discussions, fully expecting to see the ordinance go the three readings was not necessarily my wish, but what I felt others on council may need. I fully expected it to go to three readings and stated I would love to see a good community turnout in hopes of engaging their council member to vote affirmative on the ordinance. I was unaware that Councilmember Rollins would make any motions, but I was not going to not support legislation that I've been a big sponsor of. He felt like we had the momentum to get the affirmative, and so it was. Ultimately, this has been discussed numerous times. There's been so much community outrage against them, and was starting to feel like we were just beating a dead horse. It was time to get that off the table. I take this as a win against both big government and private third-party government contractors that think they have circumvented the process and found a loophole to help trample on the rights of the American people. This isn't communist China. Fifth Ward City Councilman Thaddeus Smith, and we appreciate the statement being released to us this morning. But that explains what happened Monday, because if you weren't there Monday, as I explained yesterday, Thad Smith started by saying he hoped it would go three readings. Again, I don't have the exact verbiage here, but you heard the statement there. Thought it would go three readings. Apparently, he didn't know Mr. Rollins was going to bring the motion to suspend the rules, so he was not going to not second the vote to suspend the rules, and felt that this had been talked about enough. So there you are. Okay, phone lines are open, 740-383-9944, in regard to that comment or anything else in regard to these Flock cameras. And again, to be very clear, whatever happens here happens. I just was getting the impression yesterday, being the first day after the council meeting in which this happened, that a lot maybe unnecessary criticism was being placed on the mayor for possibly using a veto, which he has not used yet. Because, again, the whole point of a mayoral veto is when the mayor feels legislation is not right, something that he disagrees with, that council votes on. And again, this was a very, very close vote, 5-4. And the actual legislation, as amended, did not have three readings. Now, yes, Flock cameras have been discussed, but had that particular piece of legislation been discussed? Probably not. Well, a matter of fact, it hadn't. It had been discussed Monday night. And you know, when it came to the comment section portion, apparently Mayor Collins wanted to say some things, and that did not happen. So here we are, 740-383-9944. Go ahead, caller.
So who is saying that the mayor doesn't have the right to veto it?
Well, that seems to be the impression of what I'm seeing on social media, that if he...
They're saying he doesn't have the right to veto?
that if he vetoes it, he's going against the will of the people.
Okay, and that's people's opinion, Scott. That's America.
Well, yeah, that's the point.
I would encourage all the people who support it to get to be calling in with you.
Yeah, well, I think that's the point.
Well, and that's, as I keep saying, here's the question I ask. Everybody that's on city council runs on that they're going to represent the people. They're going to speak for the people. But yet, why don't they have on their page, or why don't they have a City of Marion, I'm City Councilman Aaron Rollins page, and here's my information, and here's the forum to contact me, to talk to me. Aaron asks, he gets out and about. Thad gets out and about. Why aren't the people that are representing the people putting themselves? Why isn't the mayor? When the mayor was running for office, he used social media. When the mayor was trying to get, you know, love your city and love all this and love all that, he's on social media. When he's trying to do the strongest town, he's on social media. Yeah. How about you do a poll, mayor? How about you got that big digital sign that everybody sits there and watches on Church Street by the city parking lot? You got the Popcorn Festival coming up. Put a poll. What do the people of this city want? And then we can quit surmising and quit opinionating on this. I mean, if they really want to know what the people think, why, I don't see on all the difference. I see on Pam Larkin, and I give props to her for putting it out there like that. She said, get a hold of me.
Right, and I think that's what should be done.
Okay. So I don't understand that the when you come across sometimes, Scott, is like, because people are expressing their opinions, they're not saying, in my opinion, that he doesn't have the right to veto it. They are discussing it. They are not stating it as a fact of law. It's being stated as
No, nothing on this program is a fact of law, but the job as a host is to come out here and to say, this is what's going on, and to say that if the mayor vetoes this, that's against the will of the people because council voted one way with a one-vote margin, is a little bit of a disingenuous thing to say because other mayors have used vetoes, and I did not hear people coming down their throat that they were against the will of the people. So
well,
I don't
disagree with. I listened to that whole thing that happened with the pool. I wasn't a fan of Schertzer's. I gave props for Schertzer vetoing that pool because it was a bad idea financially. And he did it twice.
But council didn't think so.
I disagree with you because there was forums. There was even a forum on Marion Star at that time. And many people supported and were against the decisions that the mayor made. So I disagree with you.
But I don't think in those days that it was anything like what social media. Right.
Nope.
So that's my point.
We can't compare those days to these days. I mean, nothing compares with the phenomenon of social media that we see today with Donald Trump and everything else.
Right, and I think that's what I said. I think it's just a different time.
We're in agreement for once, I guess.
Well, no, I just don't know what you think that I'm trying to say here. Because all I'm saying is that I think, you know, the mayor could get 5,000 letters and the mayor could be labeled as going against the will of the people. That's all fine, and that's people's right, and that's opinion, and everybody's got one, and that's politics. But if he still chooses to veto this, and again, I've said many times, I'm not saying he should, but if he chooses to veto this, that's the whole idea of a veto. You don't need to veto legislation you like that got through. You veto legislation you don't like. And this is obviously something that he is not a fan of. It's not
okay,
him.
But he's supposed to be representing the people. This vote isn't about what
well,
he
apparently
likes
with
what
the
he doesn't like.
But see, that's my point. If that statement is true, if that opinion is yours, then you must feel that Schertzer was not representing the people when he vetoed the Aquatic Center twice because council voted for it. You must feel that Schertzer did not represent the people when he vetoed the pay raises for city council at the end of his, or the mayor, and not city council. He didn't
why
veto that.
Why must I feel that? Why do you, why
because,
are you putting my thoughts in
because,
my head?
Because you
no,
just,
I must not feel
because
that,
you
that
just,
Schertzer felt that way.
Because you,
I can feel that city council voted the way they want, and maybe Schertzer voted for the people that he was listening. I'm not...
So why can't Bill Collins be doing that?
And this is why I'm saying to you, because I don't give a shit about what everybody did in the past. I'm not a leader of any way, shape or form that gets up and says, here's what I'm going to do for you, and here's what I'm going to do better. And then when I get in office, I get in and say, well, what about what this guy did, and what about what that guy did, and da-da-da-da-da. That's bullshit.
Well, but I mean, the veto has not changed. I mean, that's what a veto is. It's.
And I'm saying we are in a time right now, if this mayor or this city council, and with social media that we have today, and they're all very, some of them are very adept at using the social media, if you want to prove, if you want to like stand out and do a new thing, in the world of politics today, you know what? Let's make it as transparent as we can. Let's actually, come on, Bill Collins, get on your page, post your picture, post your information, and say, contact me, and I'm going to put your emails out there, I'm going to put your comments out there, and start a forum. Let the people, let see everybody's comments and really represent the people.
But I guess that's the point I'm making, is that, yes, that can be done, so on and so forth. But so why, when other mayors have used the veto, was it not for the people? Because council...
Prove to me that it wasn't. I mean, Scott, you can't go back, and I'm not...
Prove to me that it wasn't, because what I'm...
You're saying.
Well, you gotta let me get it. The proof is that the veto by a mayor is only used when council votes for something in the affirmative, and they have the votes to do it, that the mayor doesn't like. So when these mayors in the past have used this veto, council had already said, yes, this needs to be done. Now,
right.
Were they for the will of the people? Or was the mayor?
May or may not be. I wasn't in the... like I said, I wasn't in the mix then, Scott, so I can't give an intelligent answer to that.
That's all
you're
I'm
asking
saying.
Me to. I gave you some answers because I did follow it back then. You don't like my answer,
right? No, I'm just saying. So, what makes this against the people if Bill Collins vetoes it?
It might not be against the people. It might be against the people. I guess what I'm trying to say is, if you are a mayor who really wants to be somebody different and not just be, well, I'm saying it's the voice of the people, or I'm not saying it's the voice of the people, why don't you prove it? Let's go, let's take the steps, let's take new steps, let's take different steps to really prove that you're speaking the voice of the people. And one way to do that is, because all we're doing, you and I are beating a horse here of opinion. I need to move forward.
All right, let's move forward.
So as I'm saying, I agree with some of your, I think you're, you know, 50-50 of your statements about the past mayors and why they vetoed and did they represent the people or not. I agree with you 50-50, 70-30, whatever it is.
Okay.
Let's move forward.
We'll go forward.
What is this city council? What is this mayor? And what can they do to prove or fix or augment their contact with the people and their transparency? In my opinion, Dan Clark was transparent about the effect of the people calling him and emailing him. In my opinion, I think, just based on the Dan Clark effect, that Ralph Smith had over 911 people, but yet only, I just find that strange. Could it be 100% true? Absolutely, it could be 100% true. I disagree with that. I think that's disingenuous.
Okay.
That's my opinion. That's my right. This is a great old USA.
And on we go.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you. Bye-bye. All right. Phone lines are open, 740-383-9944. 27 minutes past the hour here. If you have anything you'd like to say, feel free to give us a buzz. We always enjoy hearing from people out there. And, again, these are just thoughts and things of that nature. Let's go to the phone lines here and see what we got coming down the line. Go ahead, caller.
Okay, so your point about Scherzer's vetoes. Scherzer's vetoes were for the good of the people. We didn't, the city council did vote for things that people wanted, and Scherzer came in and Big Mean Daddy and said, kids, we don't have the money for that. And city council said, well, we want it anyway, Dad, and we see how that happened, what happened with that.
Right,
this
but
is
you
an
don't...
entirely different situation that we won't be paying for in 20 years. Well,
right.
We might be.
But you don't think Collins would use the same logic there that he would
I'm
say...
I'm sorry, you cut out.
You don't think Collins would use the same logic there that he would say, listen, you think you know what's best? Flock cameras are for the safety of this community. They are for what's better. I'm going to have to be the father here and straighten this out.
Okay, Daddy, make yourself a one-term mayor. This is what I don't... This is the over thing that I guess is really the most mind-boggling to me, is that this is a nationwide movement. Three people that sit in the back of city council decided, oh, let's get all the flock cameras removed from the city of Marion. This is going on all around the United States. I think it's almost like 100 municipalities have canceled their contracts with flocks, and a lot of them are just planning on letting them expire. Or more, I should say, are planning on letting them expire instead of renewing the contract. So it's not just like Naomi Craig and Phil got together, Phil Townsend got together and decided, let's get Marion up in arms about flock cameras. This is Jason Schaubert. Yeah, to Ralph Smith's point, he said on your show that he talked to 25 people. He said he was one of those people because he is a voter. You think maybe his wife was one of them too?
I don't know. I think there's a very interesting thing going on here.
Do you think he asked Jason Schaubert if he was for or against flock cameras because Jason's his constituent?
What did Jason call him?
I don't know. Do you think Ralph would take his call? And then the break, in the interim, your intermission where you were paying the bill, someone sent me a message that there was a police officer in Marion that did misuse flock cameras. Let me see. I'll have to request his file, but apparently he walked down a couple girls, and one of them actually ended up pregnant, so I'm going to request...
Now, see, that's a worthwhile story.
Yes, it is. I'm going to get his employee file, and we can go forward with that, but I got that from a very, very, very reliable source of information that wouldn't just make that up. Like, they would have firsthand knowledge of that happening. And see, that goes back to trust, people telling me things because they trust me, this vocal minority that has no influence in the city of Marion at all. And I don't want people to think that I'm, like, bragging or I think I'm something special or whatever, but I think people are organizing, and I think we are collectively getting together, and I am proud to be part of that.
Well, I guess question...
But it was just insulting, but it sounds like we have had some flock camera misuse, so we'll just have to find out about that one.
Well, I guess the interesting thing to me, I wonder why these people, and there's nothing wrong with sending it to you or anybody else, but I wonder why they don't send it to the Star, they don't send it to me. Do they think we won't run it?
Well...
I mean, I don't quite... Apparently, this person listens, I would think, if they sent
they
the
do.
Timing of that. So,
well,
I don't understand...
Like I said, it came in the intermission.
Right. So, my question is, I mean, see, this is where I get a little confused on things, because, and again, nothing against you here, but obviously, you're a proponent of getting rid of the cameras. I think the Star and myself are playing this very down the middle, and they don't send it to a down-the-middle source. Now, are they afraid we wouldn't believe it? Or we wouldn't run
it? That's a possibility. I mean, I believe that you and Abby both would believe it and request this person's file. And, I mean, as soon as I get the file, I will be glad to pass that information along to you. But I mean, it's like, why did people send me stuff about the dumpsters, you know, that they thought were being misused? Why did they send me that and not to the Marion Star or to you? You know, but I mean, respectfully, are you going to get up and go take a picture of a dumpster, Scott?
No, but I think that's a different story than here.
Yeah. Well, the dumpster gate's still a pretty significant deal that we should all, I mean, the state of Ohio is going to handle it, but that's just another example of the misuse. But as to the veto, Collins has the right to use the veto if he wants to explain it, that this is for the health, the safety, or the well-being of the city of Marion. Fine. Mayor Collins, King, welcome. Be prepared for there to be a referendum. It probably won't be on the ballot until, not for this, but we'll probably just go ahead and do a ballot initiative to where it's enshrined in the charter, or the bylaws of the city of Marion or something
well,
like
and
that.
Well, by that point, the flock cameras could be gone. Now, I guess
well,
that would prevent...
Well, and then we can make sure they never come back. And hopefully,
right, and I guess is what that
with Bill Collins. I mean, I'm telling you, people, if you've ever thought about running for mayor, please start preparing. There are steps that you can take to make yourself a good candidate, to make yourself knowledgeable. And you know, I wanted to make this point, too. That little jackass Ralph Smith, I thought he and I had found
some
problems.
Well, you have some problems with Ralph, don't you?
I do. That jackass, I have some real problems. I thought we had found some common ground, he and I. What he said yesterday just rubbed me the wrong way, like the biggest grit sandpaper you can find. Before he ran for city council, that man was not ever at one city, or not, he didn't run for city council, I'm sorry. Before he was appointed to his seat, he never had his seat in a seat in city council. That man was never there. So how dare he talk crap about the people that have been there meeting after meeting after meeting. And that son of a bitch didn't even, he thought there were four or five flock cameras in Marion. But boy, he knows what's going on. That just made me irate to sit there and him to say that about us yesterday. It just, sir, I never even saw your face until you got appointed to that seat. But you're going to talk crap about the people that have been here for almost every meeting for years.
So I take it you're going to be campaigning for him.
Oh yes, I most certainly will. Let's just say he's going back to Grandpa Ralph now. I called him Ralph Smith, Mr. Smith, that sort of thing. He's worked his way off the Christmas list. Cheers.
Thanks for calling.
Bye.
Bye. All right, phone lines are open here. 740-383-9944. Well, people have got opinions. You can certainly say that, which is not a bad thing. I mean, you know. Thou that giveth shall taketh, I guess. 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. I was talking with somebody last night. Well, we'll get back to this in a second. Let's go to the phone lines here. Okay. Go ahead.
Hey, Scott, let me tell you a little story.
Yeah?
Several years back, I was the construction manager of record for Habitat for Humanity, Buckeye Ridge Habitat for Humanity here in Marion, Ohio. Runs by Lynn Zucker, Christy Neff. We did the Habitat House of Hope up on State Street. And as I was coming out of the organization and Steve Lawrence was coming in, they were getting ready to start doing rehabs of houses. And that's something that is very close to my heart. And we have tons and tons of houses that can and need to be rehabbed in this town. In the state of Ohio and in the United States, we have lead paint rules. And as I was transitioning out, and they were transitioning to doing these homes. They said that these rules didn't apply to them. They said that they didn't have to follow those rules. I went to city council, or I went to Habitat board meetings and got it on the record. Jim McGuire was there. Steve Lawrence was there. Representatives of Stiegel Construction were there. And I put it on the record that you have to do certain things, and if you don't do certain things, I told them in that, and as they had been told for the years that I had been a part of that organization, that I don't do anonymous. I went to them for years. I went to them in executive sessions and said, let's fix this. I'm not trying to crucify anybody. Let's fix this. You represent God. You represent the church, and you're doing this to the people. I told them, I will contact the EPA. I will contact OSHA. I will and guess what? They are still doing those rehabs, and I contacted every person I said I would contact, and you know what, Scott? They won't do nothing. And it's not because the laws weren't broken. It's because Lynn Zucker is a big Republican in this town. She's a Loudonslager. And we live in a supermajority state of Republicans. And I'm just a little bit offended by this sometimes, and I'm not mad at you, Scott, but sometimes the naivety sometimes that comes across from the people, well, if you report, don't they? No, they don't fucking fix this shit. They don't take it as true. They don't even investigate it. That's why Lynn Zucker's gone now. That's why people don't trust people in this town. When I was part of Habitat for Humanity, I never even asked to join that organization. Lynn Zucker came to me in church and said, "Hi, I'm Lynn Zucker. I nominated you to be the construction chair. Wouldn't you want to ask somebody?" And then my first year, I donated all my time. I donated all my services. The amount of fuckery that I saw in that organization is mind-boggling. People need to reach out to Steve Lawrence and talk to him. The number of stories that he can tell you about his 5 or 6 year tenure there is mind-boggling. This is why we don't trust. This is why we don't trust the cops, policing the cops. You want to do flock-type shit or whatever? Then I want somebody like from the citizen group, like Naomi Craig, to be on that audit board. That's when I'll trust.
All right. Well, I appreciate the call.
Thanks, sir.
All right. Phone lines are open, 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. And as I've said, everybody's entitled to their opinion on what's going on. And I think that's where we are. And you know, people's life experiences lead them to where they are today. And where we are is where we are. And at this point, I guess it's just waiting on a decision by the mayor on if he will veto this particular legislation at this point. So this is where we are. And I honestly don't know where that's going to go. I think the mayor is in a tough position. I mean, I think that there obviously is a lot of blowback to come his way should he veto this. But in his mind, being a former law enforcement officer and being friendly with people who I think feel that this is a good thing, will that influence him? I don't know. I truly don't know. 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. Again, all I've said this morning in regard to this whole issue is that the mayor's veto is to be used for legislation that passes that the mayor does not feel is the right legislation. That's all. So, here we are. And would there be enough votes to overturn the mayor's veto? I don't know. I don't know. You know, you still have that if he would veto this. Okay, we've got about 20 minutes left in the broadcast here this morning. Feel free to give me a call. 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. Give me a buzz. I would love to have you on the program today and share your thoughts on this or anything else, by the way, going on in Marion. You know, we talked a lot the other day about all of the construction going on in town, and all of the things going up. You know, there was something I wanted to say the other day, and I remember thinking, you know, I should write this down, but I was in the car, and it's kind of hard to write things down when you're in the car. Oh, I know what it was. I was driving down University the other day, and it seems like those buildings, those apartments, apparently, that are going there on University are coming up very nicely, starting to see some construction there. We'd seen a lot of ground being moved around, but now it seems as if the structures are being put up. So, you know, this is a good thing. I think that's senior housing is what I remember, right there across from where the dorms are, or what used to be the dorms. I'm not even sure those are dorms anymore. Matter of fact, I think somebody told me they were not. Does anybody know about the dorm situation on University? I think they were dorms at one point, but I don't think they are anymore. I think they are actually housing that is open to anybody at this particular point. So, there we go. 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. And, by the way, I do believe that we are facing a blood crisis in the United States. So, obviously, that's something that's very important. You know, I don't think as many people are giving blood as they once did. Let's go to the phones here. Go ahead, caller.
If I heard your last statement correctly, is that the mayor has the right to veto, and the mayor's veto doesn't necessarily have to be the will of the people, but the decision of the mayor as the leader and willing to take political hits or pluses, but it's just, you know, that's his tool to say, you know what, I don't really have to represent the people in this veto. I'm saying, in just my knowledge and my experience, I think this is bad, so I'm going to veto it. And if that's what you're saying, I agree with you 100%.
Yep, that's all.
All right, bud.
Bye-bye. Okay. All right, again, phone lines are open. Now, let's see here. So, there is a bleed for the band going on tomorrow. And let's see here. This will be, it's today, actually. Hold on. Today, this was posted yesterday. Wednesday, August the 12th from 12 to 6 p.m. in the Harding High School band room. Mandy Kruder was a beloved 2002 Harding graduate student and a talented flute player whose life tragically ended in October 2002 after relying on blood donations during an emergency. This special drive honors her memory and helps ensure blood is available for others who need it. Donate blood, save a life, help Mandy, support our band. All right, let's see here. If they collect 30-plus units, the Marion City Schools band will receive approximately $10 per usable unit. Walk-ins are welcome, but appointments are strongly encouraged. That's today, 12 to 6 p.m. at the Harding High School band room. And boy, I remember when that Mandy Kruder incident happened. That was very, very, very unfortunate that she lost her life. But give blood. We're in a blood crisis. 12 to 6 today at the Marion Harding High School band room. Phone lines are open, 740-383-9944. Also, want to remind you, the American Revolution Experience, a traveling exhibit, is at the Marion Public Library today and tomorrow, the 12th and the 13th, before it wraps up there. Today it'll be there, 9 a.m. to 7 p.m., and tomorrow, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. The American Revolution Experience includes display panels and interactive digital kiosks designed to connect visitors with the people, places, and stories that shaped the birth of our nation. So that goes on today and tomorrow. Then it's all over. And we also have the statement from 5th Ward City Councilman today, Thad Smith, as to why he did what he did on Monday night in regard to seconding the motion to suspend the rules. All right. 46 minutes past the hour. Does anybody have anything to say? We got about 14 minutes left here. 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. You know, it's interesting. We have not heard from the person who got this all rolling back in 2023, Jason Schauber. Have not heard from him as of yet in regard to this legislation advancing on Monday, or gotten his thoughts on what a Mayor Collins, see, I'm back in the past now, Mayor Collins' veto would look like on this particular issue. Maybe he's out there this morning. Maybe we'll hear from him. 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. Because I do believe that Jason has been in support of some mayor's vetoes in the past. So, you know, it'd be interesting to know what his thoughts are on a mayor using a veto and why a mayor should use a veto, especially on an issue particularly like this, in which it's something that he has been very vocal about since 2023. Wonder if he ever thought the day would come that this legislation would advance through this particular city council, the way it's made up. 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. But we'll see if we hear from him or anybody else out there in the listening area this morning. As you can tell from the last few weeks and from the conversations that we've had here this morning, this is an issue that is very important to people. It's an issue that gets people very interested. It's an issue that gets people very excited. And I don't think that there's anything wrong with that. You know, anything going on in government that gets people interested and catches their eye or ear or whatever it may be, I don't think this is a bad thing. But we are in the home stretch now, 49 minutes past the hour here, 11 minutes left in the program. Has it all cooled down now? 740-383-9944. Okay, go ahead, caller.
Hey, Scott, as my Grandpa Schmidt used to say, is when you've had enough, you've had too much. So when people say, you know, well, with these flock cameras, you've got phones everywhere, you've got this, that, and all of the stuff going on everywhere. You're being monitored everywhere, so why do you worry about it? Because we finally had enough. And when you've had enough, you've had too much. And the people are tired of the public servants telling the people that they can't do this and they can't do that, and we are in control. That's what they consistently tell the people. We are in control. The people have abdicated their control and their oversight over the public servants because we're apathetic voters. We're lazy voters. We want to watch whatever bullshit's on whatever HBO or Netflix. We don't want to do politics. We don't want to listen to it. And as such, politicians vote their own vacations. They vote their own health care. They vote their own raises. And we put up with this crap. You know, to piggyback on this thing for Habitat, here's how your Ohio government works. At that board meeting, and after, I contacted OSHA, Ohio, about the issues I saw going on. The supervisor got back to me and told me and talked to me on the phone and said, well, Phil, you know, Habitat uses volunteers, and, you know, the volunteers don't fall under the OSHA purview. And I said, wow, that used to be, but I just came back from a symposium is what I'm going to say, for lack of a better word. But it was put on by OSHA Ohio and sponsored by Mid-Ohio Habitat. And Lynn Zucker's the one that sent me to it. And it was about the OSHA competent person and all other things. And in 2011, OSHA was added to the OSHA purview. All the volunteers, because Habitat, and I'm not, I may be wrong on this, but at the time it was like the fourth or the sixth largest builder in the United States. And they recognized all of the things that were happening, and the accidents were happening, and a lot of it was because people didn't know what the hell they were doing. And knowing how to, and the whole competent OSHA competent person thing is about, you know, you have somebody with some level of construction experience, because only through experience are you able to see dangers and potential falls and things like that that are going to occur. A hose being put over the top of a roof, and you're going to step on it, you're going to roll that hose, you're going to roll down that roof. And so the fact that I took this to Habitat International, I took this to OSHA, I took this to the EPA, I took this to everybody, Scott. And I put my name on every bit of it. And nothing gets done. So that's where mistrust comes from. That's when, you know, we'll just trust us. And as you said earlier, well, and I get it, you know, you're like, well, we've not found anything wrongdoing in Marion. But if this is to be true that there's this one cop that, you know, did do it, then by that fact right there, have we not already been misled by the police?
If that proves to be true.
Okay. And don't a lot of things, you're a journalist, you've been around for a while, how many different things come out? I mean, the President Nixon said he didn't do anything wrong. Right?
Mm-hmm.
And he said, oh, come on down, we'll look at this, we'll look at that. Right?
Right.
Come to be found out, he was doing a lot of stuff wrong, wasn't he?
Right, but have we also not had officials in Marion accused of crimes that we found out not to be true?
Yeah, but it has to be investigated. Here's my thing. I agree with you. They have been, and here's my thing, is investigate them all. That's what oversight, that's what checks and balances are about. It's not a party thing. That's why two parties is a wonderful system, because it keeps us honest. That's why you know, so many people today is like, oh, I want to get rid of all the Democrats, or I want to get rid of all the Republicans. Well, I mean, we see on our own city council, they eat their own. I mean, you're on their team. Miranda was on their team. They appointed her, and they turned on her, didn't they? Look at Jason Schaubert. Boy, they like went after him big time, didn't they?
Well, and I think that's what happens when people have very strong opinions about things.
Well, and again, I'm just trying to speak to the other side of the argument. I'm very much what I hear what you're saying, and I agree with what you're saying. You got to give people the benefit of the doubt. But on the other side of it, you know, I mean, smart people, you know, if you're a contractor in Marion, Ohio, and you're bidding work because there's no building code observed in this town, you never know what you're going to run into. So you can't make assumptions like you can in Delaware, Columbus, things like that, because there's inspections, and you know, on a certain level, you're not going to run into certain problems. So by not having a building code in this, an observed building code, an enforced building code, it actually costs the people more money, because as a contractor, you bid your jobs higher to cover the unforeseens or the fuckery that you know, and Josh Daniels knew when he helped rescind that. You know, because he's supposed to be representing the people then. I know this is a rant, but my thoughts go, you know, it's a, I guess where I'm going with that is it's a long-term pattern. You know, what I saw when I was a part of Habitat, and again, was never asked to join it. I was on so many different boards. I was on the opiate board. I was on a lot of different boards. I was pretty well known around here. And just the way the system runs, and I'm not coming at anybody personally, but the way the system runs, you know, when people are, you know, when the opening comes and everything, there's supposed to be a process. There's not no process. They go and choose who they want for that job. They tell that person, you got the job if you want it, says, yeah, and then they're like, okay, now we gotta backtrack this, and we gotta do all the stuff we're supposed to do for the sunshine laws or for this law or the, you know, blah, blah, blah laws. That's how it runs. And I'm sure that's not any different than a lot of towns. Some towns maybe do it better, some maybe do it worse. But what I find interesting is the churches, the different things that I was invited into. The same thing with the woman I was with that was the CFO of MRDD that took the stuff to the county prosecutor. She was on all kinds of boards. She had a level of integrity that nobody can impugn. And people invite you in. I got invited in to the Habitat, and then this was a Christian organization, and it's run by the church I was going to at the time, Marion Christian Center. And then we got, and I had, you know, people I was friends with, I admired. And then I saw those same people go into, you know, tell the people this, this, and this in public, and then we went into executive session, and they're all, well, so here's what we're really going to do. And I was dumbfounded. And I said to them, you know what? Jesus didn't get locked out of that door. Jesus or God, either one of them, they're executives. They're in this executive session. And I told them for years. I caught Lynn Zucker in so many different lies. I caught her in lies. And Steve Lawrence would come in, oh, Lynn just told me this. Oh, really? I would put her on the phone right then hey, Steve Stanner said, you just, oh, yeah, my bad, I did do that. Time after time after time. And I kept telling them, let's fix this. I think that the church, I believe that the church, the people of the church, that we can do these things. We can do these things within the law. You know, they don't believe in the lead paint rules, and so they're not following them. Tom Milligan, who owned Nationwide Insurance, he told me it didn't. Well, it doesn't apply to us, Phil, because we don't take federal grants. Well, yeah, you do. You take block grants, but it's not tied to grants. It's a law. And since you ran Nationwide, you have to know that, because you have to take that in consideration when somebody's house burns or you have to redo shit. You have to cover the lead paint issues that would go along with that. And that's the stuff that I see. And I kept saying to them, let's fix this, because we are the children of God. We can do this right. We can keep it within the law.
And we're out of time today. Hey, thanks for calling.
Have a great day, buddy.
All right. And that wraps up our show today. Who knows who will be here tomorrow or what the topic will be, but I'm sure it'll be interesting. And we'll go on down the road, and we'll see what turns up. And that's what will happen tomorrow morning, starting at 8:15 a.m. For this particular day, I hope you have a great day. Hopefully no rain. For this day, Scott Spears heading for the dugout.
The place for guests like Dean of the White House Press Corps, Helen Thomas.
Helen, how do you deal with criticism? Because certainly 10 presidents, you've had your share of criticism. What do you, how do you deal?